Thank you so much for inviting me to be with you here this morning. It's my pleasure. And I actually think that the young people who were here right in front of us pretty much said everything I needed to say. So from the mouths of babes, they really have an understanding of art and creativity. So that was a joy. Well, last spring in Kennedy Heights, something truly special happened. We danced. Well, perhaps that doesn't sound remarkable to you, but the experience generated a sense of joy and connection that's rare. Guided by artist-in-residence Joshua Brown of Inlet Dance Theater from Cleveland, Ohio, diverse residents of all ages, ethnicities, and ability levels came together for 1 month to dance. We learned modern dance technique, improvisation, and creative movement, and people called the whole experience amazing, saying it opened up doors and windows for me, and I appreciated the ways of honoring people from a variety of backgrounds and abilities. Strangers came together through the practice of dance and formed strong bonds. Participants learned far more than dance steps. They built community. This sense of community was expressed well by one adult participant who said on the last evening, "I think there's value in working with people you would not otherwise ordinarily encounter or take the time to get to know. The sense of closeness lasts long after the experience ends. When you bump into someone out in the community and say, 'Hey, I know you. We did that thing together.'" That comment really resonated with me. For several years prior, I had participated in a choral music residency at the Art Center with another artist in residence, Terry Boyarski. For this project, we reached out to area churches, including predominantly African American churches, a large Catholic parish, Protestant and Jewish congregations in our community, all of which have a strong tradition of singing. My group that I participated in included a number of women from Cornerstone Missionary Baptist Church in Kennedy Heights. Terry taught us to sing with a technique that included using movement along with vocalization, and it all led up to a community concert. The experience was empowering, even for a non-singer like me. As we joined voices in song, we formed deep and intimate connections. More than a year later, I was at the Kenwood Mall, and when I heard someone yelling, "Ellen! Ellen!" across Bath and Body Works. And there was Vicky, one of the women from Cornerstone. We hadn't seen each other in a long time, not since the project ended, but we hugged like we were family. That intimate connection was still there. In a society that can feel all too fractured and divided, we have found that the arts have a unique power to connect people to each other and to restore a sense of belonging. Strengthening our communities is perhaps one of the most important tasks we have to meet the challenges of today and the future. In his groundbreaking book in 2000, Bowling Alone, The Collapse of Revival of American Community, sociologist Robert Putnam warned that our stock of social capital, the very fabric of our connections with each other, has plummeted since the 1950s. Drawing on evidence, including nearly 500,000 interviews, Putnam demonstrated how we have become increasingly disconnected from family, friends, neighborhood, and our democratic structures. We sign fewer petitions, belong to fewer organizations, know our neighbors less, meet with friends less frequently, and socialize with our families less often. We're even bowling alone. More Americans are bowling than ever before, but they're not bowling in leagues. The links between the health of a community and the quality of its social bonds are becoming increasingly clear. In looking for the ingredients that affect the physical well-being of people, Dr. Felton Earls, a Harvard professor of public health, conducted an extensive 15-year study in neighborhoods in Chicago. His research found that the single most important factor differentiating the levels of health from one neighborhood to the next was what he called collective efficacy. He was surprised to find that it wasn't wealth, access to health care, crime, or some more tangible factor that topped the list. The more elusive ingredient, the capacity of people to connect, the capacity of people to act together on matters of common interest, made a greater difference in the health and well-being of individuals. Community arts are unique in their power to engage people and connect them to their creativity and to each other. Arts give people a creative voice, a way to express shared values, and to create a shared experience working together towards meaningful outcomes. There is consensus among social sciences, educators, and activists that these are exactly the kinds of experiences that help build community. Putting art at the heart of a community enhances our lives by stirring hard-to-articulate feelings and inspiring us to look beyond what we believe to be possible and imagine a more vibrant, exciting future. It also reminds us, as the young people did, that we are all creative beings, and that whether we're making art or music or telling stories, we're all connected. The National Endowment for the Arts published a research-driven white paper called How Art Works, showing that when art happens, there are benefits to individuals and to communities. Those benefits include increased creative capacity of insight, the ability to bridge and bond, and make connections with people who aren't like you. I think of community arts as creating these campfire moments when we can come together with a bunch of other people. It isn't a meeting, there isn't an agenda, there isn't a to-do list. Often art is just the call to come together and be with fellow human beings, which is at the root of all individual transformation. Kennedy Heights Arts Center is an inspiring example of how arts can build community. Kennedy Heights is a diverse, friendly, and progressive community recognized as one of the oldest racially integrated neighborhoods in the city of Cincinnati. But if you were to drive through its business district a few years ago, you would not detect this vibrant character. The view from Montgomery Road showed years of neglect, with abandoned buildings, run-down properties, and check-cashing places. Now residents have come together to renew our neighborhood's vitality. And the ingredient at the heart of this renewal? Art. In 2004, a group of local residents came together to save the historic 1875 Kennedy Mansion from demolition. A few people's dream became the inspiration of many as hundreds of volunteers came together to purchase the distressed former funeral home and transform it into a thriving community arts center. A decade later, the arts center partnered with two other nonprofits to revitalize another blighted property, a vacant former Kroger store at the corner of Kennedy and Montgomery Road, to create a $2.4 million cultural campus, making way for Kennedy Heights Arts Center's Lindner Annex, a 10,000-square-foot satellite facility adjacent to our main building, including a performing arts center, digital media lab, and artist studios. The mission of Kennedy Heights Arts Center is to enhance the life of the surrounding community through arts and cultural experiences that embrace diversity, foster creativity, and build community. Initially all volunteer-run, this center engages more than 5,000 people annually through rotating art exhibitions, arts education programs for young people and adults, outreach programs in public schools and libraries, and a range of community events from cultural festivals to poetry readings. We serve a very diverse audience and are proud that 100% of our programs are accessible to everyone, regardless of ability to pay. And the center's welcoming environment engages many people who might not otherwise venture to traditional arts institutions. As the director of this organization over the past 10 years, I've had the opportunity to witness the transformational impact of arts engagement on both the individual and cultural or community level. Lemuel Hosiah Hogue, or LJ to his friends, first got involved at the Arts Center at age 9 as a student in our summer arts camp. LJ says he was drawn to art from the time he was a young boy. Being dyslexic, he had trouble reading, so his father would read comic books with him, and the artwork in the comic books inspired him. In art camp, LJ was able to explore his creative side in many ways: drawing, painting, photography, drumming, and more. To be honest, it was a little rough going at first, as LJ had struggled to stay focused and to interact with his peers in a positive way. But through his years at Kennedy Heights Art Center, his artistic skills not only flourished, but his social skills as well. And surprising his parents and perhaps himself, LJ became one of our strongest youth leaders. In 2012, he was invited by arts instructor Cedric Cox to be an intern in our two-week Camp Create, which he then did for several years, becoming a role model for the younger youth. He found that being a camp intern satisfied two of his passions: being around art and artists, and helping people. It also forged a long-term relationship with Cedric, a successful African-American artist who became a mentor. A couple of years later, LJ approached us about volunteering at the Art Center all summer long. All 10 weeks. I said, "Are you sure about this, LJ? Working with kids all day, every day, can be tiring." But LJ was determined. And over the course of the summer, he volunteered nearly 200 hours working with more than 100 campers. And LJ brought so much to our camp program. His joyful, positive demeanor towards campers, staff, and volunteers brightened each day, while his responsibility for camp procedures helped all the little details fall into place. Last year, LJ graduated from Roger Bacon High School and went on to college, where he's studying education at an Ohio State branch campus, and his future is certainly bright. A couple of years ago, our neighborhood was reeling after two drug-related gun deaths occurred in Kennedy Park. Even before the homicides, the park had become a haven for people shooting dice and making drug deals. And as you can imagine, residents were scared and upset. But instead of staying away, neighbors decided to work together to take back our park and restore our community's sense of safety. Working with the police, the Parks Department, and Kennedy Heights Art Center, a group of local residents organized Play in the Park, a community-driven initiative organizing free weekly events. Every Wednesday, all summer long, residents of all ages, races, income levels come together in the park to create community through art, music, play, dance, and more. On one of the first nights, residents gathered in a circle, each with a small frame drum. Master percussionist Baba Charles Miller led the group in playing hand instruments and learning a traditional African song. Afterwards, one of the residents called the experience magical. "We were playing together in no time, and it was deeply moving as our music rose up on a beautiful summer evening." Last summer, Play in the Park just celebrated its fifth year, and the impact has been remarkable. Engagement keeps climbing. Last year's attendance topped 1,700, and there have been no more incidents of violence in the park. The police have hailed it as a model for combating violence in neighborhoods. Currently, in our gallery at Kennedy Heights Art Center, we are presenting an art exhibition entitled Second Glances. 21 artists and fashion designers share perspectives on gender identity and gender expression through apparel. Because clothes are never just clothes, right? They are imbued with deep, personal, social, and cultural meaning. Our clothes are an outward expression of our personal and gender identity. But what happens when your personal identity doesn't match society's expectations? It can take courage to get dressed in the morning. Through our interaction with the art, these experiences, like second glances, open us up to important conversations and raise our sense of empathy and understanding with one another. And I find the way I explain it is, it doesn't just affect you or you're talking about these experiences here, but here. Robert Lynch, president and CEO of Americans for the Arts, said, "We are in a time once again when our need for the arts is growing more and more apparent. Controversy and anger and fear seem to swirl around us these days in large supply. This has happened plenty of times in our history. We have needed and sought the healing and teaching power of the arts for a long time, perhaps forever. On a national scale, we have just labored through an election that left many people confused. We have seen a rise in ugly racial statements and verbal and sometimes physical attacks on people perceived as other, whether because of gender or sexual orientation or perceived disability or race, and they have left many people fearful and sometimes hopeless. But again, this is where art and artists can help. Arts fight hate and celebrate and interpret difference. Art gives us hope." I will close with a prayer for artists by Vienna Cobb Anderson. "Bless the creators who by their gifts make the world more joyful and beautiful realm. Through their labors, they teach us to see more clearly the truth around us. In their inspiration, they call forth wonder and awe in our own living. In their hope and vision, they remind us that life is sacred. O Creator, pour your spirit upon us that our hearts may sing and our works be fulfilling." Amen.
If anyone has a comment for Ellen, just raise your hand and a microphone will be brought to you. Or go get the microphone. Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
That's really inspiring. I'm going to be talking about the spark, and the arts are a fundamental part of, you just said it so beautifully, and the illustration of the Kennedy location is amazing. I think it's really... It's hard to, I try and pull my kids off the screens, or sometimes when they're on the screens, I'm like, you have to do some art on the screen, you know, yeah. And I think I forget how much fun it is, and I associate it with cooking, but that's another kind of form of art,
absolutely.
But getting messy with paints or something like that, Every computer games are so neat and clean, and you put them away when you turn them off, pretty much. But there's definitely something tactile in putting that investment in. And thank you for the reminder.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. This is my whole thing. I work for a local music company, Antonio Violins, and we partner with the Cincinnati Symphony a whole lot. So I work a lot with them with Arts Wave and trying to get art into our community. So this is just right on with everything that I do. And one thing that I ask everyone that works in this field is, we have all this science and this research that me and you know that art is like so beneficial in every way, and I still see it constantly being underappreciated all the time. And I just was wondering your opinion on why does that happen? Why are we still having to push for art when we have all these facts backing us up that's saying this is what we need? Why are we still having to push back?
Well, I think part of the answer, at least for those of us who work in the arts or just passionate about art, is breaking down this understanding that I think for too many of us in the world, when they hear the word art, they think of this as something that only a select number of individuals in the world are, you know, talented enough to have their paintings hang in a museum or to write symphonies, and that these are the artists. And I work in a community art center, that we're out in the community all the time, and one of the most common statements I hear when I'm talking with residents and getting them to go to, oh, I'm not an artist. And so I think that that's part of it, is because actually, as Debbie was talking about here when she was showing the books, is there's evidence that art has played a central role in our communities since the beginning of time. And that that is really what we seek to enliven, is that whether it be cooking or gardening or making music together, singing around the piano, moving, dancing, making playlists for your friends, anything that this creative endeavor is something that we all have inside of us and we all can embrace. And so, because I think right now the legislatures and decision makers too much of the time want to present art as something for the elite, as it's, you know, just an extra that's for the, you know, the elite to enjoy, and so we shouldn't invest public dollars. And that is, you know, really something that all of us who are involved can, you know, help break down that, you know, that understanding. Sure.
I've been aware of the Kennedy Heights stuff forever, because back when Metropolitan Area Religious Coalition was starting to do stuff with CPOP, which is community policing, Kennedy Heights was one of the focus areas.
Yes.
And the sticking point was always that Kroger's, because it was this empty building that had a meet that people would meet in and do things that were not necessarily healthy for the community. You get the idea. Empty parking lot.
Yeah.
How in the world did you finally get to change over the Kroger to the Art Center? Because that has to have been the key to a big, big part of this renaissance.
It absolutely was a key. And one of the things that I like to share, actually, both the story of the founding of Kennedy Heights Art Center in the Kennedy Mansion, but definitely that former Kroger, is very inspiring, because it really came out of a groundswell of community action. It wasn't like some, you know, big philanthropist came in and gave us a bunch of money. So that site is at the cornerstone of our community. 4.2 acre lot, big empty grocery store. It was vacant for more than 15 years, which you can imagine, as you're saying, you know, vandalism, other kinds of unsavory activities happening on the site when you leave some, you know, a site like that vacant for that many years. And for years, the community council, who is very engaged and very effective, had worked with the city, had really worked hard to try to, you know, let's recruit or another retailer. You know, we need to bring someone in to redevelop this site. But like so many of the big boxes that we see in neighborhoods across the city, that's just not going to happen. That's not the way our economy is working. And so it really was, at a certain point, people in the community said, well, if we want this to happen, we have to make it happen ourselves. And so, and then looking at the inspiration of what had happened with Kennedy Heights Art Center, began to look at it differently. Instead of trying to bring in a new store, how can we use the power of the arts and what we have going and the arts that really leverage that to redevelop this site. And so it was actually three nonprofits, not just Kennedy Heights Art Center, that came together to redevelop the site. But it was in doing that and going to the community and getting, a groundswell of community support that we were able to ultimately raise the money and redevelop the site. And it is owned by each of the nonprofits. We're not leasing, and so we've got a lot of buy-in and staying power. And it has had an absolutely transformational effect on the community, not only visually. If you I invite you to drive by, we're still we've just been open a little over a year, so we're just still developing the campus, but there's a big mural painted on the side that's on our side of the building, so you won't miss it. But and then the kind of activity and creating a positive central place in the community has made all the difference.
First of all, thank you for your very interesting talk. I believe art is a language, universal language by itself. We might not understand other people's spoken language, but we will most of the time understand their art. People try to build walls to separate people, but art builds bridges and flies over those walls and unites us as humanity.
Absolutely. Amen.
Thank you very much for your talk. I was reminded listening to you of a quote by Richard Rorty who said, people go to war over what is right, people come together over what is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly your point of what art can do.
Right.
We do a lot of work with children who have experienced trauma, and there's new research. Kids who experience trauma have high resting levels of cortisol, stress hormone in the brain. And there's new research that just 45 minutes engaged in art activity significantly reduces cortisol levels. So the past year I've had the honor of working with Kathy Wade, former jazz singer, in developing a program called Arts Over ACEs, or Adverse Childhood Experiences. And last week she and I were able to present the project at George Washington University, and it was well received.
Wow.
And I think we're going to see it replicated in other cities.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you, Ellen, for
your
inspiring talk.
Appreciate
and thank you all for your comments and conversation.